Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a good Friday so far. Good start to the weekend, obviously. 6:30 here on the East Coast in New York. And joining me today should be Tracy Ann Campbell of Cynosure Risk Advisors, LLC. And this is part four of the five-part series that we've been doing with Tracy. And again, we've been learning a lot of really interesting things about her personal story, really one of perseverance, definitely. An incredible lady that we've been talking to. And it's been a pleasure to have her on the show for this amount of time now. And we do have two episodes left with her. So tonight is part four. And hopefully Tracy will be calling in from her location of right around the Chicago area, I believe. And, of course, we will hopefully get her on the line any second now. As with every show, we always give our guests a couple minutes to make sure that they can get in touch with us here. The call-in number for Tracy is 818-668-5457. And like I said, hopefully she can call in and we can get her going. And we will be good to go for tonight's show. And we'll just check real quick. Let's just check the line now and see if we have her on here. See, we are still waiting for Tracy to to get on, and we will give her a couple of minutes, obviously. Tracy, we're still waiting for her to call in, and we will see if we can get her on. It looks like we do have her on the line now. Tracy!
Yes, I am here.
All right, great. No problem. Welcome to the show. So, Tracy, now, as I mentioned before you got on the line here, this is part four of the five-part series that we're doing with you. And, again, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on to really discuss a really interesting and a great story of personal perseverance, really. I mean, you've certainly, seen a lot, done a lot, and achieved a lot in a short amount of time, we'll say, so far. So we do appreciate you coming on today, and thankfully we have you back on for one more episode. But to get right into it, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the company and why you started it and what it is that you guys do there?
Absolutely. I think the primary reason I started it was I was working at this large, prestigious law firm, and I was working for large, sophisticated companies and clients and really well-educated individuals. And I realized that regardless of how well-educated a person is, it does not mean that they know absolutely anything about insurance, commercial or otherwise, home insurance, car insurance, or otherwise. It's such sort of a black hole, so to speak. Some people, believe that they know. They hear some things on TV, they may read a few articles, they may talk to a few brokers, and then they just kind of guess. And
right.
That is why insurance companies have consolidated and become so incredibly powerful. I think we all saw that back in 2008. It's because there's a lot of money to be made in insurance because the insurance customer is very often not that knowledgeable about the intricacies of what they're buying, whether it be home insurance or what I do, which is commercial insurance or business insurance. And so business insurance is a wide variety. The very basic one that most people are familiar with is your standard commercial general liability, your slip and fall insurance. Any business, from a bakery to whatever, has that type of insurance. And you also have property insurance for what would happen if your property was to sustain damage in a fire or something like that. Those are your two basic types of coverage. But even there are so many nuances. And what people don't understand is that the insurance laws are a mishmash of what we call common law, which is actually case law, and what is statutory law, which are laws made by the legislature, our representatives. And so, and there is no common set of laws to govern. So it really depends on what state you end up in. And so very often, if there's a question as to which state laws apply, you really get what's called the race to the courthouse for the most favorable state that you think you might be in. And so even with those very simple types of insurance, it could be fairly complicated. Now, I, in particular, specialize in what's known as professional liability insurance. And this has become a very hot topic as of late, and it was fairly a hot topic back in 2008. So it's a really an umbrella term for the types of insurance that you might hear about that encompasses something like coverage for doctors, which people know as, malpractice insurance, or lawyers, which would be legal malpractice, or bankers. Bankers also have that type of malpractice coverage, or investment advisors, or really, if you are a professional who actually provides counseling services or some sort of service or some sort of counseling to a third party for fee, you need professional liability insurance, no matter what, whether you're an accountant, a broker, a contractor, you need that type of insurance. And because of that, it really depends. It starts to get fairly narrow depending on what you do. For instance, I'm a risk manager, and it kind of gets a little bit more narrow there. And so you have to be very careful when you're asking your insurance provider, about, what type of insurance you need based upon exactly what you do, because insurance companies will have very broad categories they'll try to put you into based on what they consider your risk category to be. And you want to make sure that you actually fit into that. And why is that important? Because if you actually need that insurance one day and you say, hey, here's my policy, pay me, please, you want to make sure that you actually have the coverage that you thought you purchased. And so very often I found with the most sophisticated companies in the country that they did not have the coverage that they thought they had. So so of course, I was there to step in, because very often some companies didn't even think to hire a lawyer to fight for them. Once that happens, insurance companies tend to back off a little bit, but really, I tend to step in and try to negotiate a settlement, because even though insurance companies don't really want to go to court, they will, because what they really want to do is try to intimidate anyone else from suing them. So they'll try to make an example, out of someone or other.
Right.
But I realize that in order to prevent this from happening to really good companies, in a lot of cases, mid-sized companies that have come up very quickly, smaller companies on the upswing, they really need to be educated, because your insurance can work for you. It's not just there to protect you when you fall. It can really work for you, if you just pay attention to it and don't just look at it as, oh, this is an expense I have to pay. And if you pay attention to what you're doing and really do invest the time in learning about, what goes into it, and learning about the politics surrounding it, such as your broker can be your friend, but should never be your best friend, because your broker has zero legal liability. Legal or ethical, obligation to you.
Of course.
Which makes sense, because you never pay your broker, if you ever notice that, regardless if it's home or auto, and the same thing goes with any insurance. And that's okay. That's not illegal. It does get a little bit tricky when some insurance companies start paying certain brokers what are called contingent commissions, which are special under-the-table commissions, which apparently aren't so tricky anymore if they disclose them in really small writing in your policy, which you're never going to read. So, again, that's why you have me here, to read your 200-page policy. So I sort of came around from doing the litigation part. Once you've gotten in trouble and, you're facing, a huge liability, to the point where I say, no one wants to think that the Titanic could ever happen to them, right? It's never going to happen to me. And then, of course, or it could never happen again. And then, of course, it does happen again. And
right.
My favorite case studies is the Costa Concordia, which I have I use in a lot of my presentations, which is a huge cruise ship that was sailing near the coast of Italy when the captain decided that he wanted to give the passengers a nicer view of the coastline, not paying attention to how close he was to the coastline, essentially ran into the ground. And the ship started to sink, and unfortunately, some died. But what was very interesting, unlike the Titanic, the captain was the very first off the boat, in a lifeboat on his way to shore, saying that, you know what, I can't really help those people. And then there was mass chaos because there was never any evacuation drills done, so on and so forth. And so when they lifted and the entire thing sank, and when they lifted the Costa Concordia, it was the largest salvage task in history. It was several billion dollars. And can you imagine being the insurance company on that risk? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, you don't want that to happen. And so people say it could never happen, right? Then we think about,
of course,
well, 9/11, you know, of course it could happen. And in today's heightened atmosphere, you know, where it doesn't have to be a plane in a building, it could just be a cyber hack from another country that knocks out your utilities or knocks out, you know, your computer networks, something relatively subtle that just takes the, you know, just takes part of the infrastructure down. You know, I ask my clients, what keeps you up at night? And they'll usually say, you know, it is being out of business more than 24 hours. And a lot of my clients are banks or financial institutions. You know, being out of business more than 24 hours is, you know, quite a bit of money. And so, you know, we work towards coming up with a continuity plan so that, you know, their workers will be able to do something from home if they can. But
of course,
obviously, if all these exchanges are down, then, you know, that's kind of what it is. So that's really why I did it, because I feel that it's such, you know, it's so much easier, you know, to try to prevent things from happening than, you know, trying to raise the cost of Concordia at a, you know, several billion dollar cost than it is for someone to read, you know, 100-page document.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, the big question for me is, Tracy, when it comes to the scope of clients that come to you now, I mean, you mentioned that obviously you work with a wide variety, right? I mean, it's not just kind of one particular person.
Oh, yes, absolutely, a wide variety. No, absolutely. Now, go ahead.
Does your approach change, though, to how you handle each client that you have?
Absolutely, because clients are very interesting. Every company has a very unique culture, and that is actually one of the skills you learn, or at least I learned, being in a large law firm, being in a partner in a large law firm and handling clients, is that each company has its own very distinct culture. And so, and, you know, that may depend on the various the various sphere or like industry it's in. If you're a trader, you know, it could be one way, or if you're, you know, even doing investment, it could be kind of similar to that. It could be mostly male, or, you know, it really just depends. And my job is to go in there and to very quickly try to sort of summarize and figure out, okay, you know, what is this culture? What's the culture based on? Is it based on the people in this office, or is it based on people in a parent subsidiary or a parent company? Is it based on a company overseas, or you know what have you? So my clients actually are very much like the clients I had in my law firm. It was a general practice law firm, and I do all types of insurance. So I do pretty much, you know, I would ideally have every type of client out there, because the one commonality in this universe, you know, above death and taxes, is insurance. Really, we all need insurance.
Yeah.
No matter.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're a person, you know, even if you're renting, you really need insurance. health insurance, you just need insurance. Or if you have a small business, and especially a small business, because I have a lot of friends who are opening up small businesses now, and they're like, well, why do I need insurance? I say, because you can't afford a single hit. That hit will take you out completely, and you really can't afford one. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, it's not nearly as expensive as one thinks it is, and it's one of those things you just can't be without. As a matter of fact, depending on what industry you're in, what you do for a living, if you don't have insurance and you do end up in litigation or you do end up in front of a government agency, it will make you look very bad to not have insurance. It will make you look negligent to think that you do not carry insurance. So because it is such, it's a risk transfer that is very common to do, and it's not usually that expensive unless you keep getting into trouble, which hopefully you won't do if you have someone like me to help you stave off those risks, like running into icebergs every week. So I do have a wide variety of clients, from construction companies to real estate to utilities to just about everything. But lately, mm-hmm. it's been a lot of financial companies, a lot of banks, a lot of investment companies,
sure.
because they're getting chased by the government and regulatory agencies, and with the new laws in place, they're sort of under the gun right now. And, and these, really intelligent CEOs, my job is to go in and, my pitch is always that I will only deal with the decision makers in the organization, because because if I cannot deal with the decision makers, if they don't have time for this, it's if they don't have time to come up and talk to me about risk management and what's important to their corporation, it's not going to be deemed important to anyone else. So we sit down and we come up with a plan, and usually they'll leave it to me to sort of execute it, but it's important that they know, that the rest of the company knows, that this comes from the top. And then I will go out and I will execute it, usually work with the broker to find mm-hmm. the insurance the company really does need. And, you can't buy every type of insurance, and we'll prioritize. And then we'll, try to come to, something that makes sense. Lots of different types of clients. Some still, they will do it, but they'll do it reluctantly, and some still just want to bury their head in the pillow and, pretend like the hurricane is just not going to come. And there are others who have already been hit by two hurricanes and are like, please come in and help us, please. And so it really just kind of depends on the client. It is very, very interesting, but I do think it is gaining traction, because you just realize you're spending a lot of money on insurance, and your stakeholders realize that that is a huge line item, and you just can't just write it off as if it's just nothing anymore. So it's a lot of money. And if you're, if you do come up with a claim and your insurance company is saying, sorry, and you don't want to sue them because, you're going to have to hire me at a certain rate
right.
for 4 years, it's really going to be, it's not going to be good for you and your career aspirations in the long term.
Absolutely. Now, as we're winding down to the last couple of minutes here, with Tracy Campbell again of Cynosure Risk Advisors, based out of Chicago, Illinois. Tracy, I'm curious about two things. First off, do you primarily do business in your Chicago area, or do you get people from all over?
Oh, from all over. No, from all over, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I will very often have clients with offices in Chicago, and they will be subsidiaries of foreign conglomerates. So for some reason, recently, I've had three Dutch conglomerates in a row, which is very interesting, especially for my sleep schedule. So I have clients from all over the place, clients in China, clients in Australia, clients all over the place, and I have clients in California. I will sometimes have clients who will have offices in Chicago, but their actual bosses are elsewhere, and I will usually talk to the bosses via video conferencing, or sometimes I will try to get out to where they are, or they'll try to get here to where I am, which usually happens more often than most. Yeah.
Sure. And is right now, or is there a time of year that is more of a busy season for you?
Not really. Policies get renewed any time of the year. I would say if there is a busy time, some people like to try to renew at the very end of the calendar year sometimes, or at the very end of the fiscal year. So those tend to be two times when people try to renew. But for me, I have to start pretty early in the process in terms of working with a client. So it really just depends on how large the client is, and how cooperative they are in terms of, you know, me getting documents and information. It could take me 4 or 5 months, to sort of work with them before we actually close a policy by the time it's actually time for them to actually renew the policy. So it really definitely depends. But most often, a policy can close on March 10th. It really just doesn't matter anymore.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And so Tracy, as we are now officially winding down, I'm glad to say again, we have you back on for another show coming up. And hopefully next Friday around the same time, if we can do it, if you're available. Why don't you tell everyone real quick the best ways to reach you if they have any questions or any way to find out more information about the company?
Oh, absolutely. The best way to reach me would be, I would say, going to my website, which is www.cynosurerisk.com. That's C-Y-N-O. Then it's cynosurerisk.com. Or feel free to call me on my direct line, which routes to all my phones, 312-929-0923, or on my cell phone, 773-960-4079. I am on every social medium there is, both personally and for my business, so I am impossible to miss. I go by Tracy Ann Campbell, because there are enough Tracy Campbells out there. So please do reach out with questions. I love them. So
perfect. Thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you for coming on tonight. And everybody, please check out Tracy Ann Campbell and Cynosure Risk Advisors LLC. Tracy, we'll see you again next week. Okay.
Sounds good. You guys have a good weekend. Take care.
All right. And from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.